I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. Subscribe and like on your podcast platforms and on YouTube. Like and subscribe there as well. And also happy Friday, happy weekend. Enjoying your summer, I would assume. Aaron Rose is joining me to talk a little bit about rumors and also Summer League. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Exciting time. The offseason, it seems like, is always more exciting by the year and maybe sometimes more exciting than the season. So excited to join you for some offseason and Summer League chatter.
Yeah, man. KD, Kevin Durant, he's still on the market, a trade market, I suppose. And still at this moment, it appears that the Raptors, the Suns, and the Brooklyn Nets are the likely teams that he will be playing with next season. In some order, the Suns would be the clear favorite. It seems like, I mean, if you want to read the tea leaves, that is the team he wants to end up on. After that, it gets a little bit murky. The Raptors, I mean, as we all know, I don't want to go through too much of the stuff where, like, we've already rehashed a lot of these things because everyone kind of knows the deal. The Raptors could probably offer one of the more appealing packages, but Scottie Barnes is not on the market. He even said so himself. He's like, yep, I know I'm not on the market. I've been told that by the Raptors that I'm not going to be going anywhere. So we know that already. What is the second best package? What is the third best package? Where are you with Kevin Durant potentially being a Toronto Raptor?
Well, I think the Suns' chances of getting Kevin Durant took a hit yesterday with the news that the Pacers were going to offer sheet and signed an offer sheet for DeAndre Ayton. And yeah, we know Ayton's going back to Phoenix on that offer sheet, but now he can't be traded without his consent for a year and can't be traded regardless of his consent until January 15th. So they can't trade him this summer. And that makes a package for Durant a little bit more complicated. You could throw in Bridges, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder, and make something there, and they have their draft picks to do it. But that package is looking a lot, you know, less appealing than it did a few weeks ago when we were thinking maybe they could sign and trade Ayton, throw in Bridges, a couple of picks, and get it done, which makes the chances of Toronto being able to pull off an offer a lot more realistic, I think. That being said, I still don't think it happens. And I feel like I've been a wet blanket on trade talks all summer. But I go back to what Masai Ujiri said at his season-ending press conference, which was, we have a young core. We want to be patient. We're going to let this group grow. And the core is the core. Now, when he said that, he probably wasn't picturing Kevin Durant becoming available. But still, you would have to, just to make the salaries match, you have to give up a lot of quality players, valuable players, just to make the financials work. So we talked about a Scottie Barnes trade. That probably won't happen. And you'd have to throw in more to that to make it happen. Now you're talking about moving Pascal Siakam and maybe another piece and future picks. We know Masai Ujiri has never traded away multiple first-round picks in a deal. He'd have to do that for Durant. And now you're talking about moving away two valuable pieces. And you have to make sure that if you're trading for Kevin Durant, you still have a team to put around Kevin Durant that can contend for a championship. And that's my big question. If they move heaven and earth to get Kevin Durant, do they still have a championship group? And I'm skeptical they still will.
Yeah, for Kevin Durant, a team probably has to trade in terms of salary, $35.2 million. That's kind of around the number that it has to be. And the Raptors, they can get there in a lot of different ways. And that's something that, you know, the Suns, they don't have that kind of flexibility. However, as you talked about, I mean, Pascal Siakam, if you do acquire Kevin Durant, you need Pascal Siakam on your team if you want to, because now you're all of a sudden you're escalating your timeline. You want to be a championship team, and he's already proven to be a number two option. And at the, you know, he could potentially be a number one. It seems like he's taken this offseason very seriously. Nick Nurse was quoted saying that when he talked to Pascal a few weeks ago, that he said, "I'm taking another step," which you love to hear. And I have no doubt, I have no reason to believe that Pascal won't take that step, but you need Pascal. And so Scottie Barnes potentially he's off the market. Pascal Siakam, you need. What's after that? Then it's probably OG Anunoby. It's Gary Trent Jr., who will be a free agent or at least have a player option after next season, which he will surely opt out of. It's picks. It's a package that the Raptors could offer, but I mean, I still hesitate to do it. Like, Kevin Durant's a lot less appealing to me these days. Initially when it happened, I was like, oh, that's interesting, because he's Kevin freaking Durant. you really consider that. But then you think about the Raptors, where they are, the pieces that they have. I think they are going to get to a tipping point with some of these players where they can't keep all of them because they're going to get way too expensive. And so maybe they do make a splash. Typically, you know, when it comes to free agents and like these superstar players, it's like, you know, players like Gary Trent Jr., guys like OG Anunoby, who have like a lot of upside, or at least, well, I mean, OG has more upside than Gary Trent Jr. We can talk about that on a different day, maybe on a preview podcast for next season. But it's players like that, and then it's draft picks. And you just have to make a decision at some point. Like, who are you going to decide that you're going to trade away for that superstar player because you're entering your championship window? And it's a really weird time for Kevin Durant to enter the trade market. I think that's kind of what we're getting at, because even like a team like the Pelicans, they could make a trade, they could make it happen, but they also don't know what they have yet, because Zion Williamson is like this person who's been orbiting around them saying, I'm going to come back at some point. And he just obviously just signed the max extension. So you want to see what you have with Ingram and CJ McCollum and Zion Williamson. And then Memphis Grizzlies, another team that could make a trade if they wanted to, but they got a lot of pieces that they probably want to figure out too. They don't want to trade, you know, Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson. They want to see what they have. So KD's in a weird spot. You know, he's so valuable, he's so good, he could potentially be like the leading scorer next season, but yeah, his value right now is a little bit off. And also I think the Nets kind of overplayed their hand a little bit. You know?
Yeah, I just think that when I'm looking at Raptors packages, it's like you have to include Scottie Barnes, you have to include Pascal Siakam, because we're talking about Kevin Durant here, one of the best players in the league. But at the same time, people are talking about, oh, OG Anunoby and Gary Trent Jr. as a realistic package. To me, that's not nearly enough, but it's also the most the Raptors could give up while still being able to retain something like a championship contention group around Kevin Durant. Sure. So to me, the two sides just don't match that well. The Raptors, while they do have all the assets, all the first round picks, all the young players to go after him, it doesn't match up where you have a championship contention or you're giving up, to me, what's the package that Kevin Durant deserves. If you could lowball them and send them something that, you know, is way under what I have as a projected value, which is, you know, a top tier player and multiple picks, sure, you can do it. But I think Kevin Durant is still one of the best players in the world. And if you're going to make a realistic package, especially if we hear that the Nets are looking for a monumental package, they asked the Timberwolves for Karl Anthony Towns and Ant-Man, if they're looking for something like that, they want heaven and earth, and I just don't think the Raptors are a team that's going to do that.
Hey man, shoot your shot, right? Ask for the world and see what comes back. And OG Anunoby, he's been in so many rumors. How valuable or how like truthful were those rumors? I'm not really sure. He was in there with Rudy Gobert. He was in there with the Portland Trailblazers. I think, I mean, and this is why his name keeps on coming up, is because he is so valuable these days. Like, he is so in demand, a player that can, you know, defend 1-5 in some cases, who can defend multiple positions, who can shoot the three. And he's got a lot of offensive upside. And he's under contract for 2 more years on one of the most generous contracts these days. $18 million a year for OG Anunoby. That is a deal, a bargain for what he's able to offer. And think about what he could become next season, the year after. Man, like, he's going to be a valuable player in the NBA for years to come. And the Raptors, them being like, I'm not going to trade him unless I really, really, really think that I'm going to be getting a person back who is going to help us get into a championship window. And Kevin Durant fits that. I also think that Masai likes his people, right? He's very loyal to his guys. And he said time and time again that, yo, I want to give Fred and Pascal and OG a chance. I want to give him a chance to make something. I want to see them grow. And he gave the same chance to Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan and Dwayne Casey. Obviously, there was a tipping point with that. Hello, Kawhi Leonard. But I think he wants to give them a shot. And next season, you know, considering how funky this past season was and all the moving parts, all the injuries, if they were just healthy for the full year, I think they could have potentially, you know, been a top four seed. Right. And if they're healthy next season, you have some better injury luck. You have a full season of Pascal Siakam. Who knows, man? Who knows how high they can go? I see some projections saying that they're going to be a 5 seed. There's like, you know, Miami and Philly and the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, those are the teams, and Boston, obviously, those are the teams that are in the upper echelon. Okay. But it only takes like one injury for a team to all of a sudden go down out of that top tier. The Raptors go in, things change a lot. I'm starting to think that this trade doesn't happen for the Raptors.
Yeah, and it's not about, I think that Masai Ujiri thinks this way or whatever. Yeah. He told us these things. He told us that he wanted to see this group. And again, as you mentioned, this isn't like the team that went out and traded for Kawhi Leonard that Masai knew. That was a veteran group. That team had a ton of depth, and he had seen them bump their heads over and over again against the LeBron James ceiling. He doesn't know how good this team is. And the other thing is, as we talked about, this team – has some depth, but I call it sort of weird depth. They don't have a ton of depth where they're bringing Fred VanVleet off the bench and Norman Powell off the bench and Serge Ibaka off the bench. They don't have those kinds of players where Jakob Poeltl is your third center, where you can condense a bunch of your depth and turn it into a superstar. So right now I'm sticking with what Masai Ujiri said in his season ending press conference and saying, I don't think the Raptors are going to make a big trade this year. We can talk about some other options, but I'm probably just going to throw a damp towel on all of it because I think that's what Masai, or that is what Masai said. And I'm just holding him to his word.
Yeah. All right, let's go down that that trade package, what could potentially happen. So Donovan Mitchell, and like as we're talking about this, and I messaged you about this today, the New York Knicks are really interested in Donovan Mitchell, like really, really interested. Like they've been creeping in Utah for a couple of years now and showing that they really want him. But if the Raptors were to show interest, what is your feeling on Donovan Mitchell on the Raptors? 26 points per game last season, 44% shooting, 35% from three, superior athleticism, a great shot creator. He'd be the best shot creator on the Raptors, and he would obviously help them with their penetration, getting in the paint, something that they're really struggling with. It's one of the reasons why they just simply don't have a great half-court offense. What are your thoughts on Donovan Mitchell being a Toronto Raptor?
Well, I think everything you just said there is 100% right. He is a fantastic offensive player. He would be the Raptors' best offensive player. But I do have questions about that. Masai Ujiri, at that season-ending press conference that we keep going back to, said he wants two-way players. And I asked him, what if there was a player who was really talented, objectively a really good basketball player, but didn't fit what the Raptors were looking for? And he said something along the lines of, we're looking for two-way players, and if we can't find them, we will develop them. That's what they're trying to do. He also joked about how that's Bobby Webster's idea, or sorry, that's Bobby Webster's job to find those guys. But to me, what he was saying was, we don't want guys like Rudy Gobert. We don't want guys like Donovan Mitchell who don't play one side of the court. They want guys who do it all. They want guys who can do a little bit of everything. And the other thing is, you know, we just came out of an era where Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet were the 2-point guards together. And this is not to slag them because those were successful guys playing beside each other. But I have questions. If you can throw out a guy like Fred VanVleet, who's maybe 6 feet tall, and a guy like Donovan Mitchell, I think's listed at 6'1", as you're starting backcourt and win on a nightly basis with that size. I have the same questions about the New York Knicks being able to do it with Jalen Brunson and Donovan Mitchell. And I think if you're going out and acquiring a guy who really only plays one side, and he plays that side spectacularly among the best players in the league, but to me, he doesn't fit what the Raptors are looking for. And to give up all of the future first-round picks. Again, Masai Ujiri has never traded multiple first-round picks in a trade. And to give up all that and players, the kind of package that we know the Jazz are looking for, something that's, you know, worth more than 5 or 6 first-round picks together, whether that's players and picks, I think that's too much for the Raptors to do right now, especially when we know he wants to bring back this core. The Raptors want to bring back this core and see what they can do together next season.
Yeah. Respect his 6'10 wingspan, though. I can't believe he has a 6'10 wingspan. That's insane. Wow.
So maybe that makes him a Raptors guy, but I think he's 6'1".
Yeah,
and I have some questions again about his defense.
Yeah. And Rudy Gobert, as I mean, indirectly, he has called him out in some way, saying that, you know, if guys can't keep players from getting to the rim, yes, it makes my life hard. And they've had obviously their issues, and that's why there's a boiling point. Rudy Gobert is now on the Minnesota Timberwolves. They got their Twin Towers thing, which is going to be interesting to see. But I think about, you know, was it that no one held him accountable? Like, there's obviously some God-given limitations for him, but clearly he's athletic enough to guard players, right? At the shooting guard position, he can do it. It's just like he, I don't know, for whatever reason, he just didn't decide to do it. So do you think the Raptors could find a way if he was brought into the culture and they had a conversation with them and they said, you know, you got to do this. This is how we play. This is like a non-negotiable. Do you think that they could find a way to make him play defense at 25 years old?
And I'm sure the Raptors made Gary Trent Jr. a better defensive player. Now, Gary is by no means a great defensive player. I'm not even sure he's a good defensive player, but he is a better defensive player than he was when he showed up from Portland. So I'm sure the Raptors would make Donovan Mitchell a better defensive player. But I'm not trading all of the things that they want, all those future picks, Gary Trent Jr., OG Anunoby, that kind of package, the kind of package we were just talking about for Kevin Durant. I'm not giving up as the Raptors front office for Donovan Mitchell and then having to answer these questions. How good can he be defensively? Will he fit with our system? If it was a plug and play player like Kevin Durant, like Kawhi Leonard, where I have everything answered and now I think I'm a championship team, I'll move heaven and earth. I'll do all those things that I have to do to get that type of player. But I'm not sure Donovan Mitchell is that type of player. And to give up what it seems like they're looking for, a package, as I said, that's going to be more than Rudy Gobert. And to me, that was a crazy trade in the first place. That seems like something the Raptors aren't going to be open to this summer.
in the end, I do think that players end up going where they want to go in the NBA. And so that's why I do think that Kevin Durant's going to be a Phoenix Sun. And I do think Donovan Mitchell, if he is traded, he's going to be a New York Knick. And how that works, Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell, that is not, like, as you said, that's not something that I think is going to work in the modern NBA. Sure, you might win a round. Sure, you might win two rounds, but you are not going to win a championship with that as your backcourt. That's just how I feel. It is what it is. Moving on to another player that was, again, sprinkled into some rumors and could be a person that the Raptors may show some interest in, Bojan Bogdanović, a player that is obviously, you know, catch and shoot, three-point shooter. He's very good at that. That's kind of his hallmark. He's been in the Utah system for a few years. And as they look to offload all of these contracts and go into tank mode, he could be available via trade. What are your feelings on him becoming a Toronto Raptor? Because I don't like it personally, but yeah, go ahead.
He's sort of similar to Otto Porter Jr. in the sense that he's got that size and he's a three-point shooter. He's probably a better three-point shooter than Otto Porter Jr. But the Raptors just brought in Otto Porter. And then the other thing is that contract. I think he's making something like $19.3 million. And just to make the salaries work, you have to start putting together a package that might be better than Bogdan Bogdanović. Because you don't want to trade Pascal Siakam or OG Anunoby or Gary Trent Jr. or Fred VanVleet. Scotty and Precious aren't moving in a deal. So now you're talking about, you know, I sort of put together one package that works. And it's Thad Young, who's only trade eligible because he signed an extension. Now, it might be a tough look to trade a guy right after you extended him, but if the Raptors wanted to be cutthroat, they could do it. You throw in Ken Burch and maybe Malachi Flynn, Delano Banton, someone like that to make the salaries work. And you probably have to send them a pick or two because that's the direction they're going. And to me, I'm not sure I want to do that, including a first round pick for a guy who I think he's like 34 years old. He's not a great defensive player, fine, because he has that size. But to me, the Raptors already have enough depth there. Now, are they a great three-point shooting team? No, but I think I want to see Otto Porter in that role, and adding another guy that's sort of similar to that style is not something I think the Raptors probably want to move even one first round pick for right now.
Yeah, and after I brought this up to you, I did some number crunching, and he shoots 38.8% on catch and shoot threes, a good percentage, but on similar attempts, OG, Fred, and Gary are all shooting better percentages. So he doesn't really raise your ceiling there. Defensively, as you said, maybe not a great one-on-one defender on the perimeter. In the post, as we saw with Kawhi Leonard back a few years ago when he had to take on that matchup, he did a decent job, but I just don't think he's a ceiling raiser. I don't think he's going to make them that much better. So no to him. Goodbye. We're not making any trades. All right. We're focusing on development. And so we pivot to Summer League. Christian Koloko, who's been, I would say, pretty good. We wanted to see him do things that he was sold to do in college and that he could be able to help the Raptors do and be a rim protector and all that kind of stuff. And I think defensively, at the very least, he has exceeded my expectations. How about you?
I think defensively he's been good. I think that certainly the first game he had foul trouble, he would have fouled out had it been a normal NBA game. I think he had six fouls and there's a 10 foul maximum or whatever limit at Summer League, but he'll learn that, he'll develop. I think what we're realizing is he's really, really thin. He's 7 feet tall, 7 foot one, whatever it is, but really, really thin. And you see that he has issues on the offensive side of the ball. His offense is very, very raw. Now, he's shown some ability or at least a willingness to take cash and shoot shots. I think he hit his first three-pointer. He didn't hit a single three-pointer in college and then hit one the other night in Summer League. And we've seen him even in the mid-range shot where he's willing to take that shot. But when he gets the ball down low, with the exception of one post move, and I think a hook shot he made over, ironically, Bruno Caboclo, not Koloko.
Say it again.
Koloko. Made the shot over Caboclo. Other than that one shot, we've seen him miss a ton of post-up moves. Now, that's something that's going to develop along the way. Now, I know there were maybe people saying this guy's a guy who could contribute next season to the Raptors. And I've said, hold your horses on that. We're talking about the 33rd pick, a player who is very, very raw. The Raptors drafted him because he's 7 feet tall. But if he was 7 feet tall and refined, he would have been the first pick, not the 33rd pick. And when you're drafting a guy like that, throw him in the G League, give him a year, give him half a year, maybe give him 2 years, and then see what he looks like down the road. So this is a developmental pick for the Raptors. I would not be expecting big things from him this year. You're right. We have seen his defensive, and that size is going to make a difference. He is deterring shots. He is blocking shots. He will not let you get inside. And I think you see that in Summer League. The question is he going to be able to defend against much bigger bodies in the NBA regular season? And right now I have questions about that. And then on the offensive end, he is a lot of development still to come.
Offensively, yes, there is a lot of polishing that has to happen there. And that possession that you're talking about against Bruno Caboclo, that's what I'm looking at. I'm like, all right, so he have something here. There's something there. He looked a lot more comfortable previously in a few other games and against that Bulls game, especially. He looked really hesitant, really raw. Again, he looked like he was like a deer in headlights. He didn't know where he was going to go, where the offense was coming from. His footwork was off. And I think that's just, again, that's him getting his reps in, understanding where his opportunities are. And in that possession against Bruno Caboclo, it's so funny that it was against him, but you saw that patience. You saw him, like, you know, going east west, finding his way down towards the basket, and the jump hook is there. That's gonna have to be his, like, his engine for his offense. Like, he has that base, and then he uses that to find other ways to orchestrate offense for himself in the post. But obviously there's a lot of work to be done. You mentioned something about him next season with the Raptors, and I think that's what people are really curious about. You know, how impactful, if at all, could he be on the Raptors next season? And with this team, with them being already so good defensively, they finished 9th in defensive rating. I would think Nick Nurse, he would want to be probably in the top 5. That's how they are probably, you know, engine to be, right? And how do they get there? Is it going to be, you know, development from other players? Is it going to be better rim protection? Is it going to be just, you know, better health? It could be that. Or do you think that a person like Caboclo in 10 to 15 minutes, just because he already has so many skills that the Raptors simply don't have, just from the activity standpoint, the length standpoint, the burst to get to certain parts of the court quicker than other players, and then just be like a rim detractor. Like, there was a possession in that Jazz game where Jared Butler, a guard for the Utah Jazz, he had a layup and he just looked back and Caboclo was like around the free throw line, and the guy did not take a layup because he just saw Caboclo barreling down on him. I think stuff like that at 7'1" with a 20-inch vertical, mind you, not bad for someone who's 7'1", 7'5" wingspan. I think that stuff does translate to the NBA pretty quickly. He is raw. He does probably have to put on like 10 to 15 pounds or whatever it is. You know, probably there's like 6 weeks span before training camp, but there are things that will translate to the NBA pretty fast just because the Raptors are already damn good defensively. And they just need a little bit of rim protection. It's going to help them get to a different tier.
Yeah, to me, I would just rather him spend those 30 minutes a night in the G League, working with somebody like Rico Hines, who's with the Raptors this year. We'll see where he's placed, but that could be somebody he works with, putting on that weight and getting far more playing time with the G League next season. And I'm totally comfortable. The Raptors, you're right, they don't have the 7-foot size to hang in the paint, but they don't play those guys very often. You're talking about the Joel Embiids, you're talking about the Jokic players of the world, maybe Jonas Valanciunas, who are 7 feet tall, who are going to bang in the paint, that you need a guy like Caboclo for. But if you're putting Caboclo against Joel Embiid in his rookie season, you're going to have a five alarm fire every single time Joel Embiid gets the ball. Yeah. So you're talking about potentially needing some size against smaller guys. And I'm totally comfortable having Precious Achiuwa or Pascal Siakam or OG Anunoby do that on a nightly basis, because the biggest guys in the league, the ones that you want a 7-footer for, I'm not comfortable right now with putting Christian Caboclo in those situations to take on the Steven Adams, the Jonas Valanciunases on the lower end of that sort of super size center scale, let alone the guys like Jokic and Joel Embiid night after night. So I would rather him put on that weight, get time with in the G League for most of the season. Maybe we see him in the second half of the season if his development is quicker, but maybe next year. That is sort of what I'm looking for. Spend this season putting on weight, learning the game of basketball, fine-tuning those skills that we've seen in there in glimpses, but let's see what you're like next summer when maybe you've had a full season of development under your belt.
Well, he's unsigned still. He does not have a contract yet. So what do you think is going to be coming his way when it's all said and done?
Well, to me, it's certainly interesting that he doesn't have a contract. Now, maybe there's nothing to see here. However, the Raptors...
There's something to see here. There is something to see.
Yes. It seems like they don't know if they are a taxpayer team or a non-taxpayer team. And we just spent a while talking about Kevin Durant and how I don't think it's going to happen. However, it seems like the Raptors are leaving their options open. So what do I mean by that? They need to know if they have more room in the taxpayer exemption, which they probably don't have because of the Otto Porter Jr. contract. And if they want to be a tax team, all they have to spend is that taxpayer exception, which is being eaten up by Otto Porter Jr. If they are not a taxpayer team, they have plenty of room to sign Christian Caboclo to a 3 or 4 year contract. Yeah. But it seems like right now they want to leave that flexibility open just in case they get a deal for Kevin Durant or someone else that throws them into the tax. if they find that deal and they're going to be a taxpayer team, I believe they can only sign Koloko either to a minimum deal, and he'll probably get more than that, or with the biannual exception to a two-year deal that comes up every 2 years, hence the name biannual exception. But right now, the Raptors are leaving their options open. Are we going to be a tax team? If so, he'll get the biannual exception. If they're not a tax team, then they can sign him to the standard mid-level exception and give him whatever's left after that Otto Porter Jr. deal. It's all complicated, nuanced CBA, but essentially, it's just leaving the flexibility open to be a tax team and maybe go after somebody like Kevin Durant.
Yeah. A lot of things to figure out for the Toronto Raptors. And thank you for outlining that. I hope people appreciate it, because that was a lot of numbers and terms. So you laid it up very nicely. Much appreciated. Okay. So that's the Christian Koloko story. Unsigned at the moment. Things up in the air. Will he be in the G League? Will he be in the NBA? Another player that probably will be joining potentially Christian Koloko in the G League is Ron Harper Jr., the undrafted player that they brought in. And via Eric Corrine, he wrote a story the other day, and he was saying that the Raptors were the first team that reached out to Ron Harper Jr. When he went undrafted. And also that he said his best character trait when it comes to being an NBA player is that he will fill any role that is necessary because he just wants to win games. That sounds like a Raptor to me. And Trevor Gleason called him a hooper. A very trendy term these days. So he was officially signed to a two-way contract. He's there. He's had some ups and downs in Summer League so far, but there are certainly some appealing aspects of his game that I think would really help the Toronto Raptors in terms of, you know, the next few years. So what do you think you've seen from Ron Harper Jr.? What do you like? What do you dislike? What's your takeaway?
I think you're right to say that there have been some ups and downs. He's lacked consistently. I'm not looking at this guy as someone saying, wow, he's really, you know, dominating in Summer League. And we're talking about an undrafted player. So not that anyone was expecting him to come in and dominate Summer League. Now, he's sort of a tweener in the sense that he's a little bit big and thick and tall to be sort of a traditional point guard, but he's a little bit undersized to be more of a forward. So traditionally, that's not going to work in the NBA. However, we've seen the Raptors like these type of guys. They liked a guy like Justin Champagne, who we just talked about, signed to contract, one of those guys that just got a new deal. They like him, who's a little bit undersized, but is a really good rebounder. So tweeners always work a little bit both ways. If you're too slow to guard opposing guards, then you've got a problem. If you're too slow to guard guards and too short to guard bigs, then you have a problem. Conversely, maybe you can use that size advantage because he's strong enough to bulldoze through smaller guards.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And he's faster than big. So it sort of goes both ways with a player like that. Are you going to take advantage of the mismatch, or are you going to be taken advantage of because of the mismatches you create? And that'll be a question we'll have to see moving forward, probably in the G League this summer. Right now, I'm not convinced that he's going to be an impact player for the Raptors anytime soon. But again, throw him in the G League for the season and let's see what he's like down the road, because he's a guy, as I said, a tweener, and we'll have to see which way that mismatch goes. Is it for him or is it for the other team?
Yeah, and his catch and shoot game, like I think that's probably the biggest reason why the Raptors wanted to bring him in, is that he gets a shot off really quickly. They may want to tweak his jumper a little bit because it does look a little bit strange at times. Doesn't get a lot of arc on it, and that's something that they, I think they work with Norm Powell on, because he also had kind of a line drive shot similar to like a Jimmy Butler, but they worked with him and he got his follow through better, and that helped him be a better 3-point shooter. So I think they're going to probably look at that a little bit. And you mentioned Rico Hines earlier. I wanted to mention this, is that I found it really interesting that the Raptors are bringing in guys like Rico Hines and Earl Watson, two people who are well respected among current NBA players. And I think that's something that we're seeing more and more from different NBA teams, is that they're bringing in these personnel that are well-respected among like the NBA universe. When you do that, you just get a lot more respect from other NBA players, right? And that's obviously very important when it comes to free agency. And obviously they're very good at their jobs as well, but just having that like ear to what is happening in the NBA streets, kind of, it was a very wise move from the Raptors. And obviously we know the relationship that Pascal Siakam has with Rico. He is running those runs. And they're about to happen, actually. He's going to be doing that all offseason. And there's just a lot of like voices and secrets and personnel around him that could potentially, you know, be people that the Raptors look at in free agency in the future. So I just wanted to say that. That was a really smart move. I love the move.
And Kevin Durant is a player who has worked with Rico Hines in the past. Now, I'm not suggesting that he's going to be recruiting him, or Kevin Durant needs a ton more development than he's going to Rico Hines. But I saw that name, Rico Hines, is joining the Raptors, at least at Summer League. And I thought, let's see if there's a connection here. And sure enough, if you pull up YouTube, you can find that Rico Hines and Kevin Durant have worked together in the past.
There you go. There you go. The tree. Anyway, back to Ron Harper. He had said that he wanted to be the next undrafted player to be an All-Star a few weeks ago, similar to Fred VanVleet. So he's got the ambition. He's got the drive. It does seem like, you know, when you look at his game, and like, there's been a lot of turnovers, especially early on in some league, that the game was moving very, very fast for him. He just couldn't keep up with it. It slowed down a little bit for him. I think that's been a positive sign. And I think he's going to keep on working on his game and trying to improve himself, but he is grabbing rebounds. And so 3-point shooter, grabbing rebounds, that sounds like a Raptor to me, and a future probably rotation piece, someone that they're going to be able to rely on to just do a few things. And if you're getting that from an undrafted player, I mean, the North Star is a Fred VanVleet, but if you have someone who's actually like a rotation player and they're undrafted, think of all the players that don't become anything who are second round picks, a very good sign. And I think he's going to be there because he's got that skill set.
Yeah, and it's somebody like Justin Champagne, another undrafted player whose three-point shot wasn't there last season, but we saw it come along in the G League, and he's a tough rebounder. And again, another one of those tweeners, but somebody who we saw as a rookie undrafted to a rotation player. Now, he didn't get a lot of rotation minutes and he didn't get long looks, but clearly there was something there that Nick Nurse liked. He got that second contract, and I wouldn't expect him to be a top-of-the-line rotation player this year, but you say somebody gets injured, you never know what's going to happen, and suddenly he becomes a guy that can contribute for 10 minutes a night down the road to pinch somebody if somebody's dealing with an injury or just needs a night off.
Ooh, I love those nights off for some of the star players. We could do some of those. Less 38 minute gains from Pascal Siakam. I can't believe how many minutes he played, man. And he didn't lose his burst throughout the whole last half of the season. It was crazy. And it just every single day, pedal to the metal. Crazy, man. Like, I can't believe how durable he was and how he just didn't get injured. He just kept on bringing it every single game. Wild stuff.
Although we saw the toll it took on somebody like Fred VanVleet, and I think the Raptors are going to work much harder next season, and they should have the depth to do it, but you can't be running your guys into the ground like I think they did, and we saw the wear and tear it took on Fred VanVleet in the playoffs last year, where he basically just ran out of gas and couldn't do it any longer.
Ooh, and this is a nice little pivot to this next player, Jeff Doughton, someone who's making all kinds of noise on the Raptors Summer League team. He's averaging 16 points per game on 60% shooting, 33% from three, but I think that's not indicative of his three-point shooting. He shot 43.2% from three in the G League last season, so there's more there. Four assists. I've enjoyed watching him just be like the dude. He just has all kinds of bursts. He penetrates. He's a three-level scorer, at least in the G League. He gets to the rim. He's able to pass the ball. He's really good in the pick and roll. What do you think of him as an NBA player? Also, like, what do you just think of it, what he's done so far?
Yeah. So full disclosure, I had never heard of him until Nick Nurse mentioned
him. Of course not.
But Nick went out of his way to mention him before the first Summer League game and said, one of the guys we're really keeping an eye on is Jeff Doughton. So I, you know, went online. I was like, all right, who's this Jeff Doughton guy? So I kept an eye on him that first game. And I would venture to say that he's probably been the Raptors' best player. Maybe Delano Banton has been a little bit better, but Delano tailed off a little bit in that third game. And his first game, while he put up a lot of points, was a little bit inconsistent, a ton of turnovers. So we've seen that consistency from Jeff Doughton, and he's turning heads. The Raptors have one two-way spot open, and right now he would be my front runner for that spot because of what he's shown so far at Summer League. He's what I really like that he does is he's clearly a high IQ player because he grabs the ball, and the way the Raptors like to get into their offense is as fast as possible. That's why they're bringing in guys like Precious Achiuwa, who can grab the rebound and get up the court. They want guys like Delano Banton, who are tall point guards, who can grab the ball and get up the court. We've seen Jeff Doughton. Now, he's not that size. I think he's 6'3" or something, but he'll grab the rebound and get right up the court, and he's creating mismatches. And we saw him do that a couple times where he's creating early offense, even after an inbounds pass or whatever it is. He's creating offense for the Raptors that probably wasn't there if you took your time. Yeah. Sometimes we see Malachi Flynn do that. Take your time bringing the ball up the court. And every second on the shot clock is a valuable second. So he's getting right up there. And I think you mentioned he's at least right now showing he can be a three-level scorer. Hit a clutch shot right at the rim through contact to help the Raptors win the game the other night. We saw him a couple times with some step-back shots, maybe a turnaround mid-range shot. And that three-point shot, which hasn't entirely been there in Summer League, we know has been there in the past in the G League. So we're not talking about a guy who's going to come in and be an impact player. Again, I always have to quell, you know, expectations, not a guy who's going to be a difference maker right now, but throw him in the G League and see what you have. And maybe, God forbid, knock on wood, something happens to Fred VanVleet and he needs some time off. You know, right now I'm comfortable putting Scotty Barnes and Pascal Siakam into that point guard spot if they need to, as we saw in the playoffs, but maybe you need a guard off the bench. And if Malachi Flynn hasn't taken that step, maybe Jeff Doughton is a guy you could look at as sort of a backup guard down the road. Somebody who is certainly through three games. And again, it's only Summer League, but through three games in Summer League, I believe has probably been the Raptors' best player.
And it's valuable that Nick Nurse actually mentioned him before this all started, that this is a guy we're watching. Then he merges in the starting lineup and he hasn't had a bad game yet. He's been really, really good. Backup point guard, or I guess whoever's going to play backup or point guard once Fred VanVleet goes off the court, Scotty Barnes, Pascal Siakam, like they didn't have the depth to supplement, you know, those guys going away from the small forward and power forward positions. Now having Otto Porter, a more consistent Chris Boucher, you can see how they'd be able to do it. But even still though, they do need a little bit more guard depth, just like someone who can go out there and just play solid minutes, who can run around, who can go against the other shooting guards and other point guards, because you don't want, you know, Pascal and OG and so forth doing that. They're just still missing that body. Who knows, man? Like, there's a lot of different things that the Raptors could do. And, you know, when you get into training camp, really, this is about, you know, who can help us right now. And he's 25 years old. Obviously, the Raptors don't care about that. 25 is just as good as 22 to them. It's no big deal. And if he gets in there and he's able to really show that he can actually compete against some of these NBA players, and that's the thing that I think that they want to see, is like, can he do this at the next level, right? And his IQ, as you mentioned, it's a thing that really sticks out to me. He can pass. He does have that speed that is able to probably translate pretty well to the NBA. Like, speed is speed, right? And he's able to use his handle to get in the lane, and he's able to finish down there. Like, I don't know, man. I feel like he's going to be able to translate this to the NBA. He's not going to be averaging 16 points a game or anything like that. But I think if the Raptors don't take a chance on him, I could see someone taking a chance on him. Like the team that we just talked about, Utah Jazz, who have just like are about to do a fire sale and trading everyone. They just need someone to come in and play point guard for a season. Why not Jeff Doughton? Why not? Right. We'll have to see.
He's certainly earning himself a paycheck somewhere in the league as sort of a two-way player, a high-end G League player who could, you know, if we see issues again in the league where COVID pops up again and players have to miss time, like we saw, how many G League players did we see in the NBA last season? We know the Raptors had issues with that, but he certainly showed himself that he's a guy who's a tweener, sort of in the conversation as they would call in baseball, a 4A guy, somebody who's probably too good for the G League. We'll see what you can do at the highest level.
All right. Shifting to another tweener in a way, Delano Banton, who is now a point guard, shooting guard, small forward, power forward. That's the idea, is that he can play all these positions. And you can see that sometimes he gets a little bit ahead of himself. He's had some good times, you know, in the G League. He's one of four players averaging at least 15-5-5 in Summer League. The other people, Montero, AJ Lawson, another Canadian, Go Canada, and Mac McClung. And then it's Delano Banton. He's been playing really fast, a lot of turnovers. He's getting to the free throw line. The three-point shot looks good. What have you liked from him so far?
So for me with Delano Banton, it's not the points per game. The three-point shot is nice, and we've seen that a couple times, that he's shown that off both in catch-and-shoot opportunities and pull-up opportunities, which is really impressive to see. But put all those numbers aside. If I was just – now, I watched the games, but if I was just looking at the box score stats at the end of the game, I would scroll past everything else and go right to the turnovers. Because to me, that first game where he put up those numbers was impressive that he was able to do that, but he had seven turnovers or six turnovers, whatever it was, and that's way too many. So I don't care so much about the highs of Delano Benton. I care about limiting those lows, because I know when he came out, when he was in the rotation briefly last season, he came out of the rotation because Nick Nurse felt like he couldn't trust him to maintain what the Raptors needed him to do. If you're coming in the game and you're turning over the ball because you're getting ahead of yourself, because you're making bad decisions when you're getting into the lane and you're making bad passes under the hoop, or you're just making mistakes, that's when you're coming out of the rotation, no matter how high the highs are. If you're making those mistakes, you're coming right out. So to me, that's what I need to see coming forward, going forward. It's not about the points. It's not about anything else. It's about seeing the game slow down for him. Sometimes we know he's got that speed. We know he's got that length that he can get up the court in a hurry. And I love that. I love to see him as a sort of a change of pace guy. Fred VanVleet comes out, he comes in. That's the ideal role. But if he can slow down the game so that he's making fewer mistakes and fewer turnovers, that's when he's going to be the most successful. As Nick Nurse always talks about, it's about consistency. And it's just limiting those floors. For me, that's really all I care about for Delano Banton. So when I'm looking at him moving forward, it's all about, are you slowing down? Are you getting to those spots? And are you not coughing up the ball? If even if you're not getting as many points, that's okay, as long as you're not making the mistakes.
They've thought about playing him a small forward a little bit too. And I wonder if that could be where his role ends up being in the NBA next season. Because if you want to do Pascal Siakam and Scottie Barnes at point guard, cool. And if you're simplifying things for Delano Banton, like these are the three things you're doing. Instead of playing point guard where there's a lot more room for error, go play small forward and just be like, if his 3-point shot is actually that much better, now he's like your 3-point shooter and he's attacking off closeouts and he can get to the rim. And when he gets there, 4 free throws a game so far in summer league, I think that's like a sneaky appealing side to him, is that he's able to finish through contact because he's got so much height and verticality and he's long and he can run in transition. He fits the Raptors so well, not as a point guard. Right. There's like a lot of appeal to that. And so I wonder if that's where they tap into. Like, they asked him to play faster. And so he started playing faster and things went really badly at times. Right. And so, as you said, the discipline. Right. And I find that right now in summer league, and he was doing this last season too, that when there's like those little alleys for the ball, he wants to throw it. And that's good. Sometimes it works. Other times it doesn't, obviously. But then what kind of position are you putting your teammate in? Are they even in a spot where they can actually score the ball? If a person is running along the baseline and you pass to them on the move around the mid-range area, like, what are they doing with the ball now? Like, unless you have like Kevin Durant, for instance, that probably isn't a good spot for them to be, and they're not going to be able to get a shot off. So it's like the little things like that. And there was an example in that Jazz game the other day where he missed Ron Harper Jr. wide open towards the end of the second quarter, right? He was wide open and Delano Banton goes into the lane. He penetrates, great. 3 bodies are in front of him. Nothing good happens. But then the other side of Delano Banton, early third quarter, he's driving. He gets to the rim. He fires this left-handed missile across his body to Ron Harper Jr. I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? That's really impressive stuff that not a lot of players can do at his height and his size. And so you want to tap into that too. It's like, where's the nuance in it? Like, where's the balance? And I think he's still struggling with that, understandably. And I think that if the Raptors really want to, you know, limit the amount of minutes that like OG and Pascal and Scottie are playing, you could probably put Delano Banton out there for like 10 minutes in an off-ball role. And maybe that's his best way that he's going to be able to help the Raptors next season.
Yeah, it's a good observation that they've mentioned they're trying to get him. They know his on-ball skills are good, but they're trying to develop his off-ball skills, because if he has that size to be making cuts and to be, if he can develop that 3-point shot, that's something that could make him a valuable player. We know he has that size and that speed to defend across multiple positions, something the Raptors really value. So you're right. If he can become sort of a do-it-all player, something the Raptors are trying to build their rosters with, that's something that we know the Raptors really, really value, and to make him sort of versatile. And again, I think we're sort of grading him on a scale here. This isn't to say he hasn't been very impressive, but we're holding him to a standard of, he should be the best player on this team. He should be the kind of player that we're grading on a scale. Can he be a rotation player for the Raptors next season? So if he wants to be a rotation player for the Raptors and not for the Raptor 905, it's about limiting those turnovers. And that's something we'll have to see both throughout the rest of summer league and into the preseason for him.
Let's shift to Armoni Brooks, another player who's on a non-guaranteed contract, who's looking for a prove-em kind of situation where he's able to earn his spot. What I love about Armoni Brooks is that he's able to be a really good three-point shooter sometimes. What I don't like about Armoni Brooks is that sometimes he's really not a good three-point shooter. He's taken the 4th most threes in summer league so far, and while those guys that he's competing with in terms of attempts, they're shooting around 35% from three, he's at 28. And it's really cool when it goes in and it looks really nice and it's fluid, and sometimes he reels off these shots where it's like, you know, J.R. Smith mode, where he's like, I prefer contested shots because they're a lot more fun versus uncontested, which are kind of boring. It seems like he taps into that sometimes. So he's been up and down. I don't think he's necessarily shown that he's able to do anything much better than what he's shown last season. I think he is an NBA player, but is he on the Toronto Raptors next season?
He doesn't really fit the mold in the sense that he's sort of a one-dimensional player. And we know the Raptors cut Sam Decker, who's sort of the similar mold last season, although Sam Decker was a little bit taller and maybe a little bit more talented. Yeah. But Brooks is a sort of an irrational, confident shooter where he's going to go up, he's going to take those shots. And when they go in, as you mentioned, you're like, oh my God, how did he hit that off balance, you know, guy in his face shot? He's an NBA player. He's a star. And then you look at it and you're like, wait, why did you take that shot when it doesn't go in? So much of it just comes down to results. And right now those results aren't going his way. And in the NBA, it's sort of, they say it's a make or miss league. And right now he's missing. And when he's taking those shots and missing, you're like, man, that's a really bad shot. You can't be taking those shots. And you know, the Raptors could use some more shooting, but I'm not sure they're looking for that kind of shooting right now.
And we got to see how some players come back too. I would imagine that a lot of them are going to come back much better three-point shooters. We didn't get to see Justin Champagne, which is unfortunate because I think he would have been able to, you know, prove that he's been able to get in the lab and prove his shot, quite a bit. Nick Nurse has said already that, you know, before Summer League, they asked him to increase the speed of his jumper. And it seems like, you know, from what Champagne was saying, that he was able to do it. And so he's another person along with Donald Banton that will probably be vying for some rotation minutes, hopefully. You know, I would imagine that those two guys are going to get their contracts guaranteed. They're going to be on the Raptors next season. After that happens, now you're at 14 players on your roster. You're allowed 15. So this person I'm going to mention now could be the person where, you know, they're able to potentially get themselves a spot. I would assume that there might be some other roster things happening with the Raptors. Mekhi Luke, we'll see what happens. But anyway, DJ Wilson had a great game against the Utah Jazz. Great. Love it.
It was his first great game of the Summer League. So those first two games were very dicey, very iffy. Mm. But he looked much better in that third game and showed again, he's one of those tweeners where he's 6'10", but he's a little, you know, thin, a little small. But the Raptors like those guys. I keep using that term sort of as a negative, but in today's game and certainly in Raptors ball, that's okay. He has a bit of that catch and shoot. Being a 6'10" guy who can, you know, hold his own in the paint. Now he's not going to go up against the biggest bigs as we talked about, similar to Koloko, but he can stretch the floor a little bit. We saw some of those skills that he has as a catch and shoot player, as a guy, I think he hit a turnaround, you know, fade away, sort of a Kevin Durant-esque shot, at least for the Summer League, the last game. And he has some of those skills, but you talked about it. The Raptors have a lot of depth right now. They have a guy like Svi Mykhai Luke, who, you know, right now it looks like he might not be back with the team. He has a guaranteed deal, but the Raptors might want to say, we'll cut our losses on that. You have Armoni Brooks, who's competing for a spot. You have Delano Banton and Justin Champagne, who are likely going to get those spots on the team. So to me, there might only be one spot up for grabs. Plus, we're not even including guys who might come in on Exhibit 10 deals or training camp offers, where you never know. You weren't thinking about the guys like Ishmael Wainwright, who suddenly became, you know, a valuable player for the Suns last year, or guys like Isak Bonga, who were not, you know, guys on the front of my mind coming out of Summer League, although he played, but suddenly makes the team, or Sam Decker, another name. So Freddie Gillespie, we're talking about all the guys we spent all this time talking about last season, didn't end up making a big impact for the Raptors, if any impact. So we don't know who's going to be in that picture. We know we'll probably have Armoni Brooks. We'll probably have DJ Wilson. There might be another guy sort of off the radar right now, but those are the guys probably competing for one spot. And then they probably won't play a ton next season. And the question is, do the Raptors have COVID issues or injury issues? We'll knock on wood again and hope those things don't happen. But can you come in a pinch for the Raptors and contribute a little bit? We saw DJ Wilson did that briefly last season when the Raptors had those COVID issues. Nick Nurse really liked it. So maybe he can do that again this year.
I'll give him some credit that, you know, he hasn't played 5-on-5 basketball until Summer League, right? He, if you all remember, he was on some 10 days with the Raptors. He had a knee injury and that was it for him. This is the first time he's played like true basketball 5-on-5 since that injury. So I imagine it took him some games to get himself right. But I mean, over the past two games, he's 5-of-10 from three. And that is your separator, Mr. DJ Wilson. If you're able to come in and be a true pick and pop big. And also I kind of like his mid-range game. You know, if he's that person who's like at the run of the free throw line extended, he's able to just like at least create a tension there in those minutes. If he's able to, like, we're talking a lot of hypotheticals, right? But Raptors don't have a lot of guys who can like hit that shot from the free throw line extended. And then I think about, okay, so you got Scotty Barnes, OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, all guys who could like really just bully people in the low post. Maybe there's like some sort of synergy there. Right? We're talking a lot of hypotheticals, but him being able to hit shots from the perimeter is going to be his separator. If he's able to do that, the Raptors are going to give him a really good shot to at least be, you know, a roster player. And if it works out, great. If not, I think DJ Wilson's probably going to be in the NBA next season because he's an NBA player. I like his ability to run in transition. At 6'10", he's able to be pretty lean and versatile, and he's able to do some like kind of guard tendency things. He was another person who had like a late growth spurt. Right. And so from that, he was told that, okay, so now you're going to be a big. So he's got those skills, a little bit of ball handling skills, not a lot, but he can get the ball across half court. DJ is a natural fit in that way. How much of a fit? And we'll have to see. They're going to have some really tough decisions to make, man. Like really, really tough ones. The last person we're going to talk about here is David Johnson, someone that was on a two-way last year. He's currently unsigned, and they're going to have to make some decisions on him. But I'll give him, again, some credit that he looks like he's really, you know, focused his offseason on his body because he does look a lot more explosive these days.
Yeah, he had that crazy dunk the other night, which was probably the best moment he's had from Summer League so far. But a guy who hasn't really shown it so far, he had an injury plague season last year, and I think that could, you know, cost him big time right now. He hasn't had a spectacular Summer League by any means. Now there's still time, I think two games left, one tonight and one coming up, where he has the chance, and then he'll probably, you know, be in the mix at training camp and maybe in preseason. But a guy who hasn't shown a ton of, you know, NBA skills right now, and we keep talking about all these guys who are Monty Brooks is getting a look, and DJ Wilson is getting a look, and Svi Mihailuk will probably get another look, at least for training camp. And when you're talking about these guys, the Raptors have a lot of these guys in the mix, and David Johnson hasn't really shown much where he deserves a look, and he's competing against guys who have a few years on him. So to me, you know, I don't want to pronounce his NBA career with the Raptors dead right now, but things aren't looking great for him right now. That doesn't mean he won't get a chance in the G League with someone else or on another roster right now, but things are getting really tight. And so far, at least, he hasn't shown much to warrant a spot.
Getting a chance to do some more ball handling, I think, would be really valuable for him. And I would imagine someone will give him a shot because he had some moments, right, in the G League last year. And if he's able to maintain his fitness, if he's able to show off that explosiveness, he's got a bit of Norm Powell in him, right? Like with some of his long strides and the way he's able to, those power dribbles that he uses. I think some team would be interested in seeing what they could make of him. He's only 21 years old. I'm just not sure because of the Raptors and their situation. Like I mentioned, Doughton again, right? He's shown a lot. And if the Raptors are really interested in showing and giving him a chance, then maybe David Johnson isn't the guy that they're going to be keeping around because Doughton could be like a more of a finished product in terms of what they need. He could help the roster a lot sooner. Who knows?
And these conversations are always tough to have. And you're hopeful that a guy like Ishmael Wainwright, who's cut by the Raptors, goes on and finds success somewhere else. And you're hopeful like a guy like O'Shea Brissett gets cut by the Raptors and goes on somewhere else and has success. So that doesn't mean your NBA career is dead by any means. And, you know, it sucks talking about someone potentially losing their job and their dream or whatever it is. But, you know, we're talking about a Raptors roster that has so many guys. And we keep talking about who's going to be in the rotation, who's not going to be in the rotation. Well, you've got Precious Achiuwa, you've got Thad Young, you've got Otto Porter, you've got Kem Birch, you have Delano Banton. Maybe are you ready to write off Malachi Flynn? You have all these guys, and we're talking about a rotation that, you know, could be 8, 9, 10 guys deep. And you're not seeing rotations that are 10, 12, 13, 14 players deep on a regular basis. You have to have those guys because you never know when injuries are going to happen. Nick Nurse keeps talking about how you can't go into a season with 8 guys. You need to go into a season with 14 guys because you're going to play your 14th man. But rotations on a nightly basis, you're not playing your 14th man. So you need to go in with talent, but a lot of those guys are going to be sitting on the bench most nights. And the Raptors are going to have some tough decisions to make.
Very, very tough decisions. And then there's a Kevin Durant thing. It's still up in the air. We still don't know if he's going to be a Toronto Raptor next season or a Phoenix Sun or a Brooklyn Net or whatever's going to happen. I did see his brother a few weeks ago. There was a question, I think, on some sort of IG post, and his brother weighed in. And the thing was they were talking about is like, you know, maybe he'll just be a Net next season. He's like, nah. He's not going to be a Net next season.
Well, why don't you tweet it, Kevin? You never know when you're going to get a response. So maybe ask him what's the deal and tell him what's defining your legacy right now, and maybe you'll get a response.
He wants to know what's defining our legacies these days. That's what he sent out the other day. He's like, what have you done today to help your legacy? And he was quote tweeting some random ones. I'm not sure what he's up to, man. He loves playing the game. And I think the Raptors honestly are playing some games too, because they're also sending some really cryptic messages. I'm not sure, but Pascal, Fred VanVleet, like, please just don't. Like, we don't need this stuff, right? Like, I want everyone to come back next season. Kevin Durant, go to the Phoenix Suns, win your championship or whatever, and just leave the Raptors alone. Leave the Raptors alone. They're building something. Things are fun. I want to see the vibes again.
I think that's that. Ultimately what's going to happen. So don't you worry.
Yeah. Yeah. But then Kevin Durant happens and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, we got Kevin Durant and that's actually kind of cool. All right, Aaron, what's coming up for you? What's going on? Are you going to take some time off after Summer League? Is that your deal?
Well, more Summer League time. And then, you know, until this Durant thing is settled or until the Jazz make their moves, I'm sure we'll have lots more to talk about and lots more to write about. So, you know, there's never a dull moment in the NBA. Just when you think that things are going to go quiet, all of a sudden you get a Woj bomb on your phone. So-and-so has requested a trade. So, you know, I don't sleep well at nights just thinking what's going to happen right now. You know, sometimes it's the middle of the night when you get a notification, Kawhi Leonard's a Raptor or what have you.
Sure.
Never too much time off in the NBA world.
365, man. 365, 24/7. All right, Aaron. He's si.com. You can find him on Twitter. What's the handle?
Aaron Ben Rose on all social media platforms. So you'll find
me there. Indeed. That was a smart move. All right. Thanks so much, man. Everyone enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you soon.